This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is the general. He is John McClain. What's happening,
hey, John?
All kind of things. I feel terrible for those families experiencing that down in Santa Fe. It's just, you know, when it hits close to home, it's even worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like when you watch it on TV and you read about it, like it, well, that's there. It's not going to happen here. And then when it does, it's just, you know, you wonder what the answer. I was just talking to the posse about it. You put security at every entrance to every high school in the country to where they got to go through security. And if you're carrying a gun, you can't get in. And somebody said, well, they might shoot them in the parking lot when they're coming in. So it's just, there's no answer.
No.
You're tired of hearing people say, our thoughts and prayers are with you. They just keep saying it and saying it, and nobody does anything.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit earlier, John, when it comes to this, is that, you know, I think sometimes, you know, when you look at, you know, the kids, the people who are doing this are kids. It's kids killing kids, right? And a lot of times there's kids that have a lot of behavioral issues, and where there's teacher's aides at these schools that have to deal with kind of kids that have explosive temperaments and can have bad outbursts. And a lot of times there's signs that you maybe see in those kids, but it kind of, the can keeps kicking down the street, because those aren't, you know, maybe necessarily kids that people want to, you know, they're not easy to deal with, is my point. And so I feel like sometimes that might be the issue. It's mental behavioral disorders is the biggest problem here, and identifying who those kids are so that you can prevent stuff like this.
Well, if you think about high school kids that seem like they have problems, there's millions, and the actual shooters, you know, there's 10 or 15.
Yeah.
And you'd hate to think somebody that had problems would be targeted as a shooter by a counselor. But other than watching social media of every – how do you do that? How do you watch social media of every single student to try to find someone who's posting cryptic messages on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, you can't. It's a huge job.
One more thing when it comes to – there's a sports connection tie-in here. There's a student at the school, at the school in Santa Fe, where the shootings happened, who was a U of H baseball recruit. He's going to play for U of H next year. His name is Roman Schupert, okay? He sent out a tweet at about 11:18 this morning that said this: I'm so grateful and blessed that God spared me life today. Today I was shot in the back of the head, but I am completely okay and stable.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Crazy.
Yep.
That is wild. All right. So on a lighter note, John, how's everything else going?
Everything's good. I'm fired up about the OTAs next week. The OTAs is phase three. That's the one where coaches get so excited because they can now watch 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 11-on-11. Deshaun Watson has been on the field with them these last – phase one is 2 weeks. Phase two is 3 weeks. Can't do any team drills during phase two. No one-on-one. It's still mainly conditioning and mental the first 2 weeks. Coaches can't be out there at all. That was all about Luke Richardson, the new senior sports performance director, and his staff. And the players I've talked to are just raving about him.
Yeah, I heard you talking about
that
on Texas
Radio. And I talked to a friend of mine with the Broncos today, and none of that surprises him. Bob McNair told Bill when he wanted to hire Richardson, whatever you need to do, do it. Money's not going to be an issue. And so I'm not sure how much it costs, several million when everything is done, to redo everything, including the cafeteria. He's got a sports psychologist. He's got nutritionist. He's got his assistants. Everything's about individual instead of, like you said, all the linebackers did the same drills. So we'll see. Yeah. You know, they're hoping that having them come in here and change the philosophy, the culture when it comes to diet, rehab, weightlifting, everything, all conditioning, that it might help reduce some of those injuries and not have 20 players and 13 starters on the reserve.
It makes sense to have the best of the best.
Yeah.
Monitoring these guys' diets and sleep and, you know, psychology, don't you think? I mean, these guys, there's a lot of money at stake here. So
I think so they did that now. Like Watson won't participate in 11-on-11, but he'll do some other stuff, and he'll be ready to go at the start of camp. I'm eager to see all those guys that finish the season on injured reserve, how many are they're taking it easy on them, or how many are able to get out there full speed Whitney Merciless, because there were so many. And then, you know, rookies are going to be lost.
Yeah.
You know, they had their mini camp. Their heads will be spinning. It's the second year guys. You want to see the free agents. And they've all been out there before. But this is the first time you can – there's no pads. There's no contact. There's no helmets. So, really, it's 6 hours a day. The mini camp, the three-day mini camp in June, the last part, which players really like because it means it's like the end of school. About to be off for 6 weeks on a vacation. So in that one, they can be there 10 hours a day, two practices for 3.5 total. Second one has to be a walkthrough. So this last part, phase three, it's where the coaches really sink their teeth into. And plus, O'Brien's got a lot of coaches, new guys coming in.
Yeah, sure.
That they want to see, and the players do too. Still so much is mental.
Yeah.
And they want to see who's going to pick it up fast, who's going to pick it up slow, who needs to be coached differently.
Yeah, saw your guy Sealy, Ted, out at a rookie mini camp the day I was out there.
He can coach.
Directing traffic out there on the special teams drills with those rookies. Yeah. So, John, just to circle back to something you said about Deshaun Watson, that he's not participating in 11-on-11 stuff right now, but when training camp rolls around, when they get to the Greenbrier,
he's ready to go.
So there's no, because we saw last year JJ, there were some kid gloves things going on with JJ last year. That's not the case. Deshaun will be a full-fledged starting
unless
quarterback,
unless he has some kind of setback.
Right. Okay, well, that's great news. That's tremendous news. Along those lines, you had a piece in the Chronicle this week about Deshaun Watson. So fully healthy Deshaun Watson, John, I think gets the city excited about the potential 16-game unlocking of what we saw in six games last year with Deshaun and DeAndre, and then a few of those games with Will Fuller mixed in. You had a piece about the numbers behind the three of them that I thought was pretty interesting. Can you share that with the audience?
Yeah, it was for our Texas Sports Nation, in which I write almost every day. And if you subscribe to it for $29.95, you get things that are not in the Chronicle and not on Cron.com or HoustonChronicle.com. And I put one today about the offensive line. The first one of the week was about the tight ends, who's going to be the odd man out, barring injury. And then this one was about, I went over every pass, and just to give you some of the highlights, when those four were together, now we've talked about they average 40.5 points a game, but Watson, when he threw 13 passes to Fuller, Fuller caught seven touchdowns. Those seven touchdowns averaged 28 yards. He had four of at least 20, three of at least 34, and he didn't drop one. So if Will Fuller could stay healthy, imagine what he could accomplish. And then for the season, Fuller averaged 15 yards. His touchdowns averaged 28. Hopkins, who's immune to who the starting quarterback is, he averaged 14 yards a catch, and his touchdowns were 18. Both of them caught seven touchdown passes from Watson. Watson's 19 touchdown passes, which we all know were more than any quarterback in history in his first seven games, averaged 20 yards. His 9.2 yards per attempt led the NFL. Now, it was just a snapshot, but nobody threw the ball down the field more than Deshaun Watson did.
Yeah.
And I told people, and they're surprised when I say this, Dan Pastorini and Kenny Burrow one year, their touchdowns averaged 50 yards. Dan would just back up, throw it as hard as he could down the sideline. Kenny, who was big and fast and a long strider, and he would beat people. And Pastorini threw a great deep ball. During the run-and-shoot era with Warren Moon, they didn't do that. They were never about that. Run-and-shoot was more like the West Coast. And then other than Pastorini and Burrow, you would have to go back to George Blanda and Charlie Hennigan and Bill Grohman in 1661 and 2. When the Oilers won the first two AFL championships, to find a Houston quarterback who threw the ball down the field like that. So you have Blanda, and you have Pastorini, and now you have Deshaun Watson. And the more I went did that, and the more I looked at what those four did, the more excited I got about the season.
John, the one variable in all that that I hear and I go, okay, well, that one's a big if, is a healthy Will Fuller. And what I'm curious about, and this may be a question for Richeson more than it is you, but like, what is any ideas on what the Sports Performance Center and this new regimen that they have can do to keep him on the field? Because it feels like a lot of his injuries have to do with the fact that he's just a skinnier, smaller dude.
His and Kevin Johnson's are a lot alike.
Yeah.
Now, when Will Fuller goes up to camp, comes down his shoulder, nothing you can do about that.
Right.
But one of the things they're trying to do with Richeson is the soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
And Fuller is listed at 180. He's 6 foot.
And he's had some of those. You're right.
He needs, I'm guessing they'd like to put about 10 pounds of muscle on it.
Yeah.
Just like Deshaun Watson. When he was drafted here, one of the first things Warren Moon told him, you've got to build up your body. You have to devote the time to building up your body because you're going to take a lot of hits. You got to be able to bounce back. I remember the Moon just lived in the weight room, off season, in season, and Warren only one time can I remember him suffering a serious injury in Indianapolis in 88. He suffered a broken clavicle.
Yeah.
And nothing you can do about that.
Right.
So Fuller and Kevin Johnson, those are two players. They would like to see what they did if they stayed healthy an entire season.
Hey, John, going back to Deshaun Watson, we were talking about his touchdowns. And he had 11 touchdowns, but I believe they were off of play action. And that's a huge part of his success throwing touchdowns is play action. But it all is predicated on what? The run game and the threat of him running, right? I mean, that's...
Well, the threat of them running. You know, you were a plate linebacker. You don't ignore a guy that looks like he's about to take a handoff, even if he's averaging 3.3 yards a carry.
And were the Texans, they were a better rushing team than people maybe thought.
They were third in the league when Watson went out because he didn't run the ball a lot. But you had Foreman, you had Miller, and then defense is worried about it. So they maybe played a little looser. Maybe the offensive line blocked a little bit better when Watson was in there. And the offensive line was not an issue in Watson's starts. And they're going to have at least four new starters. I think they'll have as many as four new starters with Nick Martin. And I think he'll help make them look good. Yeah. And you know, they don't want him running. He's got to stay healthy. As you know, a lot of people don't realize around the country that he got hurt in practice. They just see Watson, knee injury, you know, he got hurt in the game. So that was freakish. And so if he was on a pace for 43 touchdown passes as a rookie, and I don't care if teams have film now, because it's like Vrabel said, you can know all of his strengths and weaknesses, but so much of what he does, you're not coaching. It's instincts. It's reaction. Like the Kansas City touchdown pass, the Seattle, when the guy turned him totally and threw to Lamar Miller, the one, it wasn't a touchdown, 37-yard gain to Ryan Griffin in New England when he threw across the field as he was about to get crushed by a pass rusher. So those are the kind of things he can't even tell you how he does it. I've asked him, well, what were you thinking of? Until I saw it on film.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just did it.
Hey, yeah. And you can't teach instincts, right?
I mean, no.
So that's his instincts, man. And you either have it or you don't.
And you don't know until you get the guy on the field. Like, if teams knew he had that kind of instinct on an NFL field, he wouldn't have been there with the 12th overall pick.
That's right.
You can't tell until he comes in.
He's good at, like, sliding and stepping left to avoid somebody, stepping right, stepping up, also rolling out. But they want him. I remember Sean Ryan said last year when he was talking about part of the coaching was showing him other quarterbacks who run the ball and throw the ball. And so, well, which one do you show him the most? And he said probably Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron, you know, always thinks pass first. His eyes are always down the field, and he runs as a last resort. That's what they want Watson doing.
John, which position group, as of right now, we'll probably ask you this question multiple times between now and training camp, but which position group are you most intrigued to watch the battle right now?
Offensive line comes out, but there's right now they don't have any great players.
Right.
You know, I'm the tight ends. You know, they don't have a great tight end. They got four. They're going to keep three.
Yeah.
Watching those, you know, they're not going to cut a third-round pick.
Yeah.
So the odd man out, barring injury, is going to be Steven Anderson.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But and the key is, can they stay healthy? But the way the DBs with Colvin and Matthew and thinking Kevin Johnson's going to improve, seeing what Jonathan Joseph can do at 34, I think I'm most interested in the secondary.
Yeah.
Including Justin Reed, their top pick.
There's going to be primary contributors on this team, recent ones, that are going to maybe take a diminished role because of the young guys and the free agent Aaron Colvin.
All right. Does John McClain feel like the Rockets have cut the Russian? We will explain when we come back. You're listening to the Triple Threat live from Little Woodrow's in Midtown, Sports Radio 610. Join us at Twin Peaks, I-10 and Kirkwood tomorrow for Pong Bowl 2018. It starts at noon. Registration begins at noon. You will be in a 64-man bracket, or woman, 64-person bracket, to win $1,000. $1,000 to first place, $500 to second place, $250 to third place.
Wow.
So join us out there. Yeah, how are your beer pong skills, John? You ever play some beer pong back in the day, or was that not a thing?
No, I could do it now, just back in the day.
I'm just saying.
No,
you know,
I didn't want to waste the beer.
Yeah. What was your favorite drinking game back in the day?
Strip poker.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
So basically a card game there where there was beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we call it? Slammers. If you banged on the table and you had to take a shot and take something off.
That sounds familiar.
That was a lot. I think that was more fun in beer pong, although if there had been $1,000 and 500 prizes, I would have done that.
You'd have been working out for that.
Wasn't the classic beer game, like of all classic games, quarters?
Quarters is like, yeah.
I feel like that was the beer drinking game, at least.
Quarters is like America's pastime of drinking games.
Only the older generation still likes quarters.
I swallowed a quarter one time.
These millennials.
You had to drink? Really? Yeah, my senior year, I remember I swallowed it. It took.
Oh,
yeah.
Bro.
On purpose?
You were drunk and weren't thinking.
Yeah, in quarters, you drink the beer while the quarter's in there, and it slid right down my throat.
I prefer muscatel with a worm.
My stomach, you could feel your stomach like trying to digest it for like 2 days. Eventually, it.
Did you get your quarter?
It came out two dimes and a nickel out the other end.
You got your money back in re-entry, huh?
I'm assuming I did. I don't know. I didn't go checking. It wasn't enough money for me to go checking.
Yeah, you weren't going to go digging. I got you.
I just waited until I didn't feel like crap anymore.
Speaking of that, assume y'all saw the video from British Columbia, the angry woman in the coffee.
It was Ted's All Due Respect story yesterday. Yeah. Tim
That's
Hortons.
Next level stuff right there, John. Huh?
John, have you seen it set to different musical scores?
No, I no.
Okay, well, I'll be sure to email you after
somebody
the show.
Somebody said, the reason she did it, said, your coffee tastes like...
Well, she apparently had priors at that Tim Hortons. She's tried to use the public restroom there before, and they were like, we've told you can't come in and do this. And so, boom goes the dynamite.
I think the most impressive thing in that story is that the fact she was able to deliver at the time she needed to, man.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of pressure.
Down, boom, pick it up, throw.
Well, she had to go. The most impressive thing was all the customers eating and drinking and just looking at her.
Yeah, just watching.
Like, what's going on?
Right. Yeah, there's a version of it out there, John, set to the music from Titanic. I'm still waiting for it. Someone has to Jim Ross that thing at some point, right?
That's so
true. That clip
true.
Of Jim Ross where they go, God almighty, they killed him. God is my witness. He's broken
coming.
In half. Oh, man. So, John.
The Rockets.
Ted and I were talking about this. Yeah, I said this before game two. I said it can't just be a win. It needs to be a win where there is a collective confidence about the fan base. I think the team is confident. But for our purposes, I wanted to see them do what they did in Game 2, and I compared it to Rocky 4, where Rocky's getting killed by Drago, but he finally lands that one punch, and Drago has to taste a little of his own blood, and it scares the hell out of him. Do you think that they have put, not fear into the Warriors, but do you think the Warriors... Do you think they have more to think about now than they thought they would after Game 1?
First of all, I thought they would lose the second game after they lost the first and looked so bad and were so un-Rocket-like. And Mike Meltzer on Wednesday morning gave this great, win one for the Gipper. There was no Gipper, but listening to Mike get all emotional about what the Rockets needed to do, I thought he's going to come out from behind his seat and get up on the table.
But he did four of those.
Everything he said came true.
Yeah.
Where I'm the party, excuse the pun, party pooper.
Because
I've been around here so long, I've come to expect the worst. And the way they did dominate them, I always like to read the media and see how the media reacts. So we tend to overreact. Like, oh, woe is us. And so everybody out there is, what's wrong with Curry? You know, but it wasn't just Curry. My goodness, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. The only guy that's done it consistently for them is Durant. So I think they'll be a different team and they'll win this game. Then the Rockets need to steal the second one.
Yeah.
And come. I said the Rockets would lose in seven. It still won't surprise me if it doesn't go seven.
Yeah, I think the one thing that the Rockets have going for them this year, that you can't go same old Rockets. This is a good defensive team.
Yeah.
They're a top 10 in the NBA. And history says, other than a couple of rare exceptions, one of which was the last Rockets title team in 95, going back like the last 25, 30 years, you have to be a top 10 defensive team in the league in order to win the NBA championship. So we shouldn't be shocked when they get knocked out of the playoffs the last few years, even though those were good regular season teams. But this team is equipped defensively to deal with the Warriors, especially a Warriors team. If Steph Curry's a little bit hobbled, it makes him a little more one-dimensional or maybe two-dimensional, depending on who the second guy is that's playing well that night. But this is a good defensive team.
I watched all the shows afterward on TV. I watched the next day. I've been on the internet. I want to see what other people think.
Yeah.
You know, we know what we think. I want to find out not what people here at Golden State think, because everybody's biased. I want to see what neutral observers like Barkley, who said they had no prayer they're going to get swept.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun to watch them, to watch Tucker, to watch Ariza, you know, watch them playing small ball with the running, the way the – giving the Warriors a taste of their own medicine. So it was fun. I can't wait. I hate it that there's so many days between games.
I know.
Yeah,
I understand it. It's TV ratings and money, but – damn, I wanted to see one day off. Let's get going. Let's see, pick it up.
Yep.
And see, by the way, somebody told me this. I wish I had thought about it myself. It was news to me because I'd never thought about it. And maybe you guys have. That's why I know the Astros are going to win the World Series again.
Huh.
Every Houston team that's won a championship has won at least two in a row.
Interesting.
Y'all know that? Go back to the Oilers in 60-61. The original Houston Aeros won two in a row in the 70s. Rockets won two in a row. Comets won four in a row. Dynamo won at least two in a row. And
Rockets won two in a row with a new owner.
And so never had anybody win just one.
Hmm.
So that means that you can bet on the Astros right now.
Don't think that I'm not going to pile them on top of my already existing
Isn't that weird?
Astros
that
bet.
That is really weird. That is weird. John, did you hear the story about the the Astros wearing Rockets jerseys on their way out.
Yeah, and Verlander
should
have worn a T-shirt under his.
Those hairy arms?
Yeah. He didn't look much like a basketball player, but when you can throw like him and Kate Upton's your wife, you can rock anything.
We all saw those hairy arms when he came out of the dugout in the World Series game, and he came out to get the guys pumped and get them going. He had wife beater, right? And you saw those hairy arms.
Trevor Bauer might say those hairy arms help him get more spin on the ball.
Yeah, right.
And that's why he's been so phenomenal. I am so bummed that Bauer's not pitching.
I know.
Carol, when that happened, I said, go buy every Indians ticket. And she looks and she says, well, based on my calculations, you know, this was, 2 weeks ago? She said, he's going to miss. And
she
said, buy him anyway, and she didn't. It saved us money.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Well, it's Star Wars night tonight, though, John. It's Star Wars night. Yeah, you get a little Star Wars bobblehead action. They're doing some Star Wars fireworks.
I was thinking more about Deadpool, too.
Oh, that's
true.
Yeah, which comes out tonight. Are you excited to see Solo next week?
I am. You know, it's weird to see the trailers, and they don't mention it. Ron Howard's the director.
They don't.
Yeah.
He took over for that guy that got... two guys that got fired, and you'd think they'd want Ron Howard's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You would think so. Great a director.
Unless they think he's too old and over the hill, but if that's the case, Ron Howard wouldn't have been brought in. So
yep.
I think that adds to it. But, yeah, I'm really fired up about seeing that. By the way, Ted, Sean, I sent Ted a thing this week because Paul Kaharsky from Nashville, who has a website, paulkaharsky.com,
yep.
and worked for the Tennessee and ESPN, and he's the midday 180 there, and I'm on with them twice. He's going on vacation, and he asked me to write a guest column for his website. And I said, okay, I'll do. How about I'll do everything I know about Vrabel? Everything I know. And so I wrote with no space limitations in cyberspace. And he said, there's no limit. I wrote about 55 inches, which is a lot, with no quotes.
How many words? I speak in words.
You know, I looked that up in the next break.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started it. I said, the first time I heard Mike Vrabel, head coach, in the same sentence was during the 2001 season when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl.
Yep.
And then I went into Ted in a dressing room. I quoted you from 2001 in the dressing room.
Did you really?
And I said, the reason I remember it, we've had that conversation since, especially since Vrabel came here, and you were the first one to say that. And I wondered at the time when you said Vrabel's going to be a coach in the NFL. He's only there five. He's only been in the league 5 years.
Yeah.
So I put everything I know about him from here and from there, mainly from you, and then everything I think about him, and then what I think he needs to do to be successful, which is not any different than any head coach. But I'm gonna Paul's gonna post that next week, and I'm gonna tweet it. And it was fun, even though my pay was. Paul said, let's see, how do you word it? It's nothing, of course.
And send you some gift cards or something? Yeah, maybe like you know, like a McDonald's. Well,
now that's a good idea. They get gift cards all the time. That's what I'm gonna
John,
tell you.
John, just like in our favorite show Billions, man, now he owes you now, right? And so
are you caught up, by the
I'm
way?
I'm all caught up.
I am too. Okay, good.
I'm
that's
caught
our,
up.
I'm okay,
all
good.
Up.
We got our 540 segment
there
squared
we go.
Away.
Hey, John, real quick about the Titans and Mike Vrabel. The coaching staff he's assembled, like, because a lot of times I don't know much about. Do you know much about the coaching staff he's assembled?
He brought in Matt LaFleur's offensive coordinator.
Usually, young coaches bring in.
He's got Pat O'Hara's as quarterback coach.
He's got Dean Pease,
and he got Dean Pease as his defensive coordinator.
Dean Pease was big.
Shane Bowen from the Texans to coach outside linebackers, and he had a couple other guys that he knew. Then he got turned down on a few, but having LaFleur, who used to be here as quality control under Kubiak. Then he went with Shanahan. Then he was with Sean McVay last year. People are really high on him, and it's a chance for him to call plays. And then Pease is a good hand who can tell Mike, don't do that, you're wrong. The coaches always need somebody that can tell them that.
John, landmark legislation passed this week by the Supreme Court and gambling. I think football is going to be the sport that ultimately benefits from this the most. What are your thoughts?
First of all, it would be a cold day in hell before we see it here anytime soon. You know, they've been lobbying to get casino gambling forever. And politicians, Republicans, Republican-controlled state,
I'm just going to take this cold water and pour it all over myself.
They know that all that money from casino gambling is going, all the tax dollars we could have, is going to Oklahoma and Louisiana and everywhere else, but not here. They got really strong lobbies. I saw one story that said that leagues will not let gambling until the state approves it. Well, that wouldn't be fair to the Giants and Jets. They're going to be first to make them wait on the Texans and the Cowboys because our legislatures won't do it. Tillman Fertitta, he better build about five more Golden Nuggets in Lake Charles for all those fans that are going to go over there on Saturday and Sunday on football that they can't bet in our state.
Yep.
Tillman could make money off of it as a Rockets owner, but he can also make even more. TV ratings will go up, sponsorships, advertising. It's like when Cuban said all the franchises will double. I believe they will. I just believe it's going to be a hard fight to get gambling on sports in Texas, knowing how long it took horse racing. And we still don't have casino gambling.
How hard a fight do you think it's going to be for the NFL players and NBA players, probably MLB players, and the owners, obviously, to get their little slice of the pie, the little quote-unquote integrity fee?
Integrity fee. It's not going to be 1%. It'll be less. And the players will get a share of anything the owners get. I read a thing today. Pennsylvania is wanting to do like a 34% tax and a $10 million licensing fee, and the companies that do it say, we're not paying that.
Yeah.
Because they know eventually they're going to have to pay all these sports. The other sports that already approved, other states anticipating this, New Jersey, West Virginia, the tax is in single digits, which is much more in line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, like Ted and I were talking earlier, John, the competition between states that have a close proximity in terms of how they roll it out, how loose will they be in terms of the maximum bets, the types of bets, the exotic bets. But you bring up an interesting thing. Will there be competition for people who are looking to open a sports book that are state agnostic, and they go, well, I'm not going to go put a brick and mortar and pitch my tent in Pennsylvania. If they're going to take 34%, I'll go to Maryland where they're only charging 28%.
Of course they will.
The competition to me on both of those levels is going to be awesome to
watch.
Great
for the fans, great for the bettors, because it's like anybody else. Come here, we off 4%.
Yep.
And another thing, to be sitting in the stands and in the second half, you can bet on who's going to have more catches, Hopkins or Julio Jones.
Live wagering, man.
And the money that is going to come in, it's going to take them a while to figure it all out, but it's coming. It's changing the face of sports. And the key is, can players bet? Can employees bet? I'm guessing no. They will not be able to bet. It's like you can smoke pot in Colorado, but you can't if you get busted, if a player gets busted, he's suspended.
Yep.
So they'll still have rules for the teams, and it's going to change the face of sports at all levels.
It's going to be unbelievable. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.